This morning I'm preaching from Colossians 3, 12 through 17, preaching on cooperating with the Spirit. Cooperating with the Spirit by putting on the things of Christ for action. Now, the Lord wants you individually, me, to be built up in our relationship, in your relationship with Him. And He also wants you to build up your fellow Christians. And it requires being intentional about the way you treat them. Intentional. That's what He wants. And it requires sensitivity, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and sensitivity to others. It also requires putting on the things of Christ for action. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 tells us this. And coming into it, Paul has said that in salvation, spiritual salvation, you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. That's what you've already done. And you've put on the new self. And your new self is being renewed to true knowledge according to the image of the one who created you in your salvation. And now Paul says at 12 through 17, and I'm going to read it right now. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, that's what we are, holy, set apart, and beloved. We're loved by God. Put on, he says, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. He's talking to the body. He's talking to all of us, the Christians. He says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Put on the things of Christ for action. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to put on the things of Christ for action, so we're asking that you would bless us, that you would build us up with this teaching, that we would take in your word, the word being preached from your word, and Father, that we would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about God crucifying the old, sin-filled, unsaved person that you used to be. God crucified the old, sin-filled, unsaved person you used to be. And you really did lay aside that old, unsaved you to never be you anymore. That's where you are in salvation. And now you put on Christ, not onto the old you, but you have put Christ on the new you. And the new you is being programmed with biblical knowledge. And in this process, you are told to put on something else. And there are certain things for action. They're fruits of the Holy Spirit. And they all relate to manifesting the life of Christ Jesus. You are wearing a godly attitude and intention to do it, putting this on. And it's what it is. It's you expressing compassion with people, being kind to them, being humble with them in your way, gentle, patient, and as you bear with people and forgive them, you're showing the way of Christ in you. You're bringing Him out. That's what they see. You're forgiving as the Lord forgave you, which is how you're told to love. And these things are not options. They are necessary. Your salvation is real. God did the work of changing you. Now your call, this is your calling, is to be adorning this new you, the new you, with the works of your change with the life of Christ. So understand that this is your calling. And your mission is to express Jesus to others. And over in Romans 13, 14, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of putting Jesus on like your calling, particular calling you have, is to play a character role of Him in the drama of life. And here, what your script is, it has to do with your relationship with other Christians, with the church body. And one thing you need to be is compassion-minded. Work on being a compassionate person. And if you don't usually have compassion, it's time to change. You can't have an excuse for that. Because this is what God tells us. Start by thinking about people with sympathetic understanding. You say, well, I'm not very sympathetic. That doesn't matter. You will be because you're going to obey the word, right? And see, this is the way Jesus was recorded to be all through the Gospels. What happened with Jesus is he tuned in to the concerns and the suffering and the thoughts of other people. And then what did he do? He did something about it. And what that is, it's real compassion. And for you to do it, you must decide to, even though you don't feel like it. You're going to have to fight the tendency to ignore your role. Now, there are certain things that are keep you from tuning into the suffering of others. One is like your own personal suffering, or even your own blessings of ease and contentment, either one of those. And what you can do is you can use those to disconnect. And if so, tuning in is not going to happen. So decide not to be disconnected with people, Christians. Care about the body. Do something about it. When Jesus had compassion for people, he did something about it. Jesus, by the way, is the one that made the connections exist. You can make the connections exist, or you can make them not exist. It really is up to you. And so what he did was he looked at the true state of other people, and he saw sick people. And so what did he do? He healed them. He prayed for people everywhere he went. He wanted people to get saved, so he preached the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he did all of these things out of compassion. Now, put on that compassion way of Christ Jesus, because that's what this is telling us to do. And what happens is you move with the Holy Spirit as he moves you. Start caring. Seek to soothe the people around you. Seek to soothe people in this church. Help them with difficulties that they're going through. Be an encourager. So do you want to be used by God? You should. Should be a quick yes. Well, start being compassionate and do something about it. And you'll quickly see what the Spirit has in mind for you. There'll be so much. And as you fulfill this ministry calling, be aware of two remnants of your old self which like to come around and push a heart of compassion out of the way. What are they? Well, one is strict, legalistic standard-bearing, sometimes called judgmentalism, standard-bearing. The other is selfishness. When you put on legalistic standard-bearing, you will ignore compassion. And its demolition tools are criticism, judgmentalism, and fault-finding that is void of grace. Void of grace. You will live being gracelessly critical of other people. You will turn discernment into condemning judgments of division. And what you'll do is you'll use those demolition tools to drown out a heart of compassion quicker than just about anything. Listen, it's important. You won't help. You won't be compassionate because you'll say, well, you got yourself into this mess, so you get what you deserve. You dug your own pit. Now build your ladder to get out. See? And then there's your own selfishness. It keeps you thinking compassion for your own self is really all that matters. That's what selfishness is. And so what it does is it stops compassion for others by thinking this way. Nobody helped me when I went through my hard times. You know, we all have to deal with our own problems. It'll all work out for you some way. You know, you've got your life, I've got my life. Well, see, your selfishness will drown out a heart of compassion very quickly. And yet, Jesus is never that way about you, right? So learn from Jesus. Glorify God by being consistently compassionate. Do something about it with actions that actually bless other people. And this also goes for wearing the expression of kindness. This is what people see as we put it on. They see. This is what they get. And we're wearing kindness. Now, the principle we get in Proverbs 19:22 is that what is desirable in you is your kindness. And so think about this. Your kindness is like a super magnet. And you can assess yourself. You can tell whether the magnetic field is even there. Just think about what you do. Is your way desirable? Is it thoughtful? Is it warm? Is that what people are getting? Kindness. Or are you doing something the rest of the body finds offensive, finds repulsive, harsh, mean, inconsiderate? You know, this particular word that Paul uses, it means more than just being friendly. It implies providing acts of grace. It's kindness that acts and does. It's doing something. By the way, it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, as many of these are. And so the Holy Spirit is telling us, consistently have grace. Do the grace acts to help and encourage other people. Go do them. Reach out to them to comfort them. Serve them. Listen to them. How? In a kind way. Care for them with real grace instead of attaching strings, you know. Keep it free. Keep your kindness free. And then what is happening is kindness is real. It's not fake. And also put on being humble. You know, I found that for me, the ultimate teaching on this is Philippians 2, 3 through 5. What I think of it is my Jesus way instructions. And what it says is do nothing from self-centeredness or empty conceit. It says apply humble thinking instead. You know, I've gotten back on track many times by remembering this one passage of Scripture. And it says, regard others as actually more important than yourself. Isn't that huge? Let me repeat that. Regard others as actually more important than yourself. It says, go beyond looking out for your own personal interests. I'm thinking, man, this hits me everywhere. It says, look out for the interests of others. But here's the main thing. It says, have the humble attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. And it shows what it means to put on Jesus. All of that. When I do it, what happens? I diminish and he increases. See? It makes humbleness actually mean something. So make this your ambition. Say, that person is more important than me. That's what you do. And putting on the way of Christ also means expressing his gentleness. Don't be aggressive with the other members of the body. Be mild-mannered. You know, this one is also identified as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Humbleness and gentleness were not considered, by the way, virtues in Rome or in Colossae in that culture back then. They were considered weaknesses. Now, in your own experience, being humble and gentle with others may not seem like you're being very strong. But Jesus, our Lord, was pure strength, right? And Jesus said, learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble. Now, pride's lying to you. It's a liar. And what it's telling you is to go its way. And it lies to you. It says it's helping you. But pride really hurts you. You know, the Bible says this. Pride comes right before what? That's right. Right before a fall. The Bible also says being humble is what helps you. It says, humble yourself and God will exalt you at the proper time. But being humble and gentle also helps others. And that's what wearing all of this is about. It's about others. Be known for being compassionate, kind, and gentle. Also, put on the Lord's attribute of patience, also called long-suffering. Romans 2:4 says patience is an attribute of God. Our Creator, the God, the only God. And it's another fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, Christ has perfect patience. And when you're patient, you'll be able to handle confrontations in true spiritual maturity. Now, the term long-suffering gets to the point. Be suffering long with people. Way beyond what you think. There's a cutoff point. Long means it just keeps going, right? And when you're about to blow up, it means restraining yourself. It means stay steady when you think that you're being offended. And you'll know if you're wearing this one too. If you stay committed when you're insulted, then you know long-suffering is there. Because commitment is really part of it. And being slow to anger and slow to action, that's patience that's showing itself. One of the greatest principles that you can learn early on is to stay relaxed instead of being moved to react. Seeking to relate instead of retaliate. And then Paul adds color to this whole garment, saying, bear with others and forgive. Don't ever say that you can't forgive, by the way. Never say you cannot bear with your brothers and sisters. God says it's not an option. He says, put it on. Do it. But putting on the things of Christ, by the way, of Christ, kicks this up a notch. You see, it bears with others and forgives them just as the Lord forgave you, the Scripture says. Now you have the best assessment standard. So think about the way the Lord treats you. Doesn't Jesus forgive you completely? Well, he does, and you better know that, and you better believe it. And he forgives you through all your mess-ups. You're very glad, aren't you, that the Lord forgives you completely? Amen. I am. We should be. Amen. Now, with myself, I don't like it when people do something to offend me. I don't like being hurt. But the Spirit always confronts me when it comes to my attitude in it all. And God says, forgive and bear with those people anyway. The Holy Spirit speaks through this passage, and it puts the spotlight on me and my walk. Now, in the parallel epistle, Paul calls it the worthy walk of Jesus, saying in Ephesians 4, 1 through 2, he says this, "Walk in a manner worthy of your calling." Now, think about yourself, me, all of us. Remember I said, this is your calling. "Walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love." That's Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. Well, bearing with one another in the love of Christ requires real forgiveness. Even though I think I have forgiveness issues, I believe I can justify. See? And so, like in everything, I must put aside legalistic standard bearing and selfishness and forgive. The Lord Jesus Christ is my standard. And so I hear the Holy Spirit's voice. It's loud and it's clear. "Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." So heed the voice. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And now with all of these things of Christ put on, Paul says this. He says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Now think about how clothing involves layers. You know, they might have pants and shirts and coats, things like that. All the things that we've looked at are various manifestations of all the lists that I've looked at. Everything I've talked about are manifestations of Christian love. Those are layers. They're all manifestations of Christian love. But Paul says, beyond all these things, now think about this, put on love. All right, well, you need to put on love as the governor. Follow what I'm saying, because this is so important right now. To make sure that the other things are not just disciplines memorized as social duties. You follow me? Be aware that all these things can be done as acts. Completely just acts aside from spirit-generated Christian love. You know, Buddhists and Muslims and Mormons, even atheists can do the actions that Paul's saying, and they look just like these things. You know, it's just a matter of personal discipline. That's all they're doing. But it looks just like it. But they're not wearing Jesus. And so what ties all this together is the main outer robe of our Holy Spirit attribute of Christian love. You see, in that day, people wore layers of garments, and they had like undergarments and then outer, and they'd wear a tunic, wear stuff over that, and they would have their main outer robe that was covering it all. Think of the authentic love of Christ as the beautiful outer robe which covers all the other things for action. It's about Jesus. It's about your relationship. It's the Holy Spirit. So though you can do all those other things, the outer love garment must be there as truly what's going on. 1 Corinthians, now this is important, points out that people can speak with the tongues of men and of angels without love. They can have the gift of prophecy without love. This is 1 Corinthians 13. It says that someone can have all faith as to even remove mountains, yet not have love. It says you can even give all your possessions to feed the poor, even surrender your body to be burned, but not have love in any of it. And it says about all that, even though you do them, since you don't have love, none of it profits you at all. Isn't that interesting? That's because there's the real deal of Christ's love manifesting him. And then there's just actions that look like it. And there's something else that has to do with the things of Christ for action. And it's not something to put on. It's something that you draw upon from within. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called with everyone else in one body." Now, be very careful on this. If you take one part by itself, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart," it seems like it's all about you. But the contextual flow shows that it's all about you with everyone else. Also, just as the love is Christian love, the peace of Christ is a peace which is supposed to rule your heart. It's supposed to rule everyone in the body, in the church. Now, the peace of Christ ruling in your heart means it's governing the thoughts of everyone. Everyone's mindset is supposed to be together in continuance and friendship, which does not break. That is what true biblical church life is supposed to be. Continuance and friendship. How many times have you ever heard people talk about church being their friendship? Well, that's the way of Christ. That's communing. That's the way it is. That's fellowship. It's to be in the oneness in the church community. Think of it this way. We are called to peace in Christ and salvation We are no longer in enmity with God. So now, just like putting on the things of the Lord, God wants us to draw upon this inner peace and the beauty of salvation and live the life of the Prince of Peace by being peace to everyone together, to each other. And if you're not doing this, you're not committed to the rest of the body the way God wants. You're not. But there's more to work on. Also says be thankful. Be grateful. Thank God for your blessings. Thank God for the people around you in the body. Recognize the Holy Spirit who lives in them. They're new creations, what they really are. Understand that each one is a treasure to God. You're a treasure to God. We all are. I am. But we need to recognize it about each other. And then what do? Thank God for them. Thank Him for putting you with them in this world. As you pass through, you're in this world. He's got you with these treasures. You're part of the treasure. But recognize the importance and the value. And then there's more on the inner things to nurture. God's Word being in you is it. You know, the Word of Christ should richly dwell in you. Expressing it outwardly is the goal with all teaching of wisdom. Also admonishing one another with the Word of God. It even says to do this with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Do it singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. You know, the inner things are what drive our actions. They drive your deeds, the inner things. And it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. All this is life in the Spirit. And something that I've always said, because it's very biblical, and it's a biblical key, so pay attention to this, is that the Spirit always works in conjunction with His Word, with the Word of God. Holy Spirit always works with the Word of God, always. And so Paul speaks of the wisdom of the Word of God. The wisdom of the Word is everything that I've been preaching on. Fill yourself with the Word so you have God's wisdom in you for living it outwardly. And then you know that the Holy Spirit is working with you because you are using the Word of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit always works with the Word of God. And this is God's wisdom at work. So when you do this, you're being led by the Holy Spirit. People always say, how do I know I'm being led by the Holy Spirit? Live the Word of God. And when the Word dwells in you richly, it comes out of you richly. It comes out instinctively. It just does. It builds people up. God wants the Word to become so much part of you that it comes out of you as your ministry. It could be teaching, could be admonishing someone, comforting them, can also be singing. God loves it when we sing to Him. He loves it when we do it together. He also loves it when we speak to one another with songs to teach and admonish one another with the actual words of the song. In the parallel epistle, Paul has a mirror statement on all this. Ephesians 5:18-20, and he said there, to be on an ongoing basis filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Here in Colossians, it's let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So speak to other people, other Christians, with songs. Teach and admonish people with them. You know, it's the music of God's Word and His wisdom filling their heart. He wants the melodies of wisdom imparted to others. The Psalms that Paul mentions here, by the way, are actually what you find in what we call the Book of Psalms in the Bible. That's the exact same thing he's talking about. And the Psalms are repeated in the New Testament at least 116 times as direct teaching phrases and admonishments. And that's what you can do. The Psalms are filled with messianic prophecies about Jesus. Many of them are written for comfort. They have all types of different things in them. To sing the Psalms is to sing Scripture to one another. You can use music to do this. In the Psalms, the use of musical instruments is prescribed in Psalm 98, Psalm 105, where stringed instruments, trumpets, and horns are directed to be used, even rhythm devices. There are certain groups, by the way, who say not to use musical instruments when you sing a Christian song. They do. They treat doing so like it's a sin. But if they understood that Paul is teaching to sing the Psalms of the Bible, which have musical instrument instructions, then they'd realize they're wrong about banning musical instruments. Now, some English translations translate some of these words, and he mentions a Greek word that has to do with singing called the hymn. We put hymn there. And hymns are to be sung to one another. Well, those particular songs are usually defined as exalting God in Christ, those particular types. And those hymns praise His excellence and His wonder and His greatness. And to sing hymns to one another, that's to exalt Christ in song and build one another up. Spiritual songs is another one that's listed here. And they were spontaneous kind of songs or compositions. They can be personal testimony songs where the body sings about victories or you're about your desires, your fulfillment, salvation, hope in Christ, testimony songs. You don't have to sing them, by the way. You don't have to, not with a melody or with music. You can speak the lyrics, the word to others, or sing the word to others. The whole thing is just do it. That's what he's getting at. The last thing that Paul says at verse 17 covers everything. I mean, it really does. You say, how much of everything? Well, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. The whole understanding of putting on the things of Christ for action has to do with the things you say. It has to do with the things you do. And on this, I think one of the biggest obstacles to accomplishing it is a way of thinking which gets laid down with some Christians at a very basic level. It's wrong, but somehow it gets there. And here's what it is. It's trying to categorize where putting on things of Christ for action should be. It's thinking there's something like the sacred area of my life, you know, like maybe showing up this morning for church, sacred area. And then there's a completely separate area from it. There's the secular areas of my life. Well, like your work or when you're on the computer or whatever you're doing. But here's the thing. With God, that doesn't exist that way. There's just your life. That's what it is. You're either saved or you're not saved. But you have your life. And as you go along in your life, in family, work, sports, hobbies, politics, whatever, there is no exclusive area to apply things for Christ for action. The sacred and the secular is where you exist for whatever you do in word or deed. So reject that fake dichotomy. That's just a lie. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And don't forget the thanks part. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father, because he is your Father as your moment-to-moment way of life. The perfect, loving Father. You know, I had to counsel a young man recently. He was very upset with the direction his life was going. And I reminded him about all the blessings that he has in Christ. We just went through them. And I told him, I understood how difficult life is, how much he thinks he's failing and he's going nowhere. But I reminded him that he really is blessed. And it was just a matter of identifying the blessings. And he started doing it and he started laughing. And it was amazing how he quickly changed his view. What God wants you to do is thank him for the blessings that you have. Thank God for what you have as you take each step to go forward in manifesting the life of Christ in the sacred secular that you're walking in. Amen? And so that's my action urging pressed in with all these other urgings of the Spirit that he's been dishing out. Fulfill your calling. Put on the things of the love of Christ for others to experience from you. That's why you're putting it on, for others. Okay? Reach inside and bring out all the life of Christ things. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for what you have as you take each step to go forward. Amen?